Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have with us across the table here at Straight Talk, the newly enshrined member of academia in the PhD world, Dr. Joseph Miller. Congratulations. I know that's not something that comes easily, and congratulations, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Well done.
Good to be on the air with you today.
Now, he doesn't teach political science. He doesn't teach biology. He doesn't teach English. He teaches the facts of life, which is building Winthrop University. How's that?
Yeah, that's great.
Does that sound good?
That sounds perfect. Put that on a diploma.
Now, his new business card. This is so new, you can smell the ink on it, all right? It says he is the Enrollment Management and Marketing Director. Is that right?
Vice President.
What does it say? Oh, it does say Vice President. It's too small. I don't have my reading glasses. Okay. Vice President, Dr. Joseph Miller. Good for you.
Thank you, Manny.
All right. So tell us, first of all, a little bit about you.
Yeah.
A little background about you.
Yeah. Well, Manny, it's a delight to always be on the air with you and to share the good news of what's happening at Winthrop University. So Dr. Joseph Miller, serve at Winthrop University. I've been part of the Winthrop community since September of 2021. So I'm coming up on my four-year anniversary at Winthrop. And I've been in higher education for about 23 years now, serving institutions all across the Southeast, from Alabama, Georgia, and now most recently here in my new home of Rock Hill, South Carolina. And what a delight it is to see. There's been so many changes in the higher education landscape over the 20-plus years, but at the core of what we do, it's still about teaching and learning and serving and providing opportunities for students and connecting that with the community and making opportunities for our students to help drive the workforce. And it's important, I think, to point out how much of a driver Winthrop University is for the state of South Carolina, for this region, and our connections to the Rock Hill community.
Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit. 4 years ago, probably 5 years ago now, we had this thing that swept the nation called COVID. Mm. And COVID really did a number on higher education. I don't care what state you're in, it did a big number because we sent everybody home.
Yeah.
And we started teaching them by screens and gave them different options on how to get higher education, blah, blah, blah. And getting them back into the university setting has been a challenge. Is that correct?
That is correct. Very much so.
I mean, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but I'll bet you Winthrop University lost 1,000 or more students. Is that about right?
That's right. We ended up losing about 800 students total between undergraduate and graduate students. And it was devastating for not only us, but a lot of institutions of our size in our region who are trying to manage through the same set of challenges and circumstances.
So just to put a little bit of meat on that bone, we heard the news here several weeks ago about Limestone College, which is not very far from us over there in North Carolina. They're closing it down.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think they ever were able to recover from what happened.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of institutions got hit hard and tried to regain their enrollment through different creative strategies. Limestone's was trying to grow through new athletic programs, but unfortunately they just kind of ran out of time and ran out of runway for those changes to stick. And fortunately for Winthrop University, we saw a drop in enrollment every year. We were losing about 200 students per year over that pandemic period. But we're delighted to see that since 2021-22, we've seen a resurgence of our enrollment come back to Winthrop University. As a matter of fact, over the last 2 years, we've seen a 27% increase in new freshmen, a 38% increase in new transfer students, and overall enrollment has grown by 4%. This was as of last fall's enrollment numbers, and we are on track to surpass that in double digits again this year. So our returning students are almost 10% ahead over where we were this point in time last year, and our new freshmen coming in are 15% ahead over this point in time last year. So we are definitely in a growth mode at Winthrop University, and we're seeing enrollments for the fall that we haven't seen since 2017.
So when all of those numbers are put together, will the total population of students at Winthrop University be where it was before COVID hit, or ahead of it? What?
It'll be ahead of where we were before the pandemic began. So we're looking at fall graduate or fall undergraduate enrollments going back to levels that we haven't seen since really 2017. And with the growth of our graduate programs, both on campus and online, we're expecting to see those program numbers be just as strong as they were prior to the pandemic.
So what would that number be? Do you know what that number will be?
Yep. So we're looking forward to roughly, just using round numbers, around 5,000 undergraduate students and 1,000 graduate students.
Boy, oh boy. Isn't that good news?
That's exciting.
That's exciting. That's very good. All right, so what is the, what is the key? What is it that you all did? I know that, obviously, the credit to the Board of Trustees.
Yes.
They brought Cerna in here, and that's a whole other story about, we had leadership that was here and there and gone and new. So we got Cerna in here. And he basically brought a whole new team of people in here, you being one of them.
Right.
But having the team is one thing. What was the secret sauce that allowed you to go out and get people inspired to come back to Winthrop or come to Winthrop, period, versus other schools like Limestone? They weren't able to do that.
That's right. What a great observation, too, about the support of the Board of Trustees. We are very grateful for all of our board support and leadership, helping to help us advocate for the kind of resources that we need, especially at the state level, with some of the investments that need to be made so that we can actualize what President Cerna has brought in as a very project management-based approach to strategic planning and setting a new course and direction for the university. So the president has done a great job of working with directly every divisional vice president to put together in this first year a suite of 12 strategic plan priority initiatives as part of a new strategic plan. And that plan is to be phased out over the next 3 years in a first phase of priority initiatives that we launched this year. We'll have another set going out next year for year two, and a third set of priority initiatives rolling out in year three. And in this first set of priority initiatives, there are 12 priority initiatives across all the divisions, including enrollment management, academic affairs, student affairs, human resources, athletics, where we've been working closely with the president and our teams to steward these investments into different resources. For enrollment management, one of the things that's been really important to us is just the coordination and synchronization of rebuilding our brand, rebuilding our enrollments, getting in front of the right recruitment markets by using smart data-informed approaches to how we can identify where our markets are, understanding that we serve predominantly 85% of our undergraduate students are from South Carolina. We are a South Carolina first institution, but also understanding that we serve a broader region all the way up into the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area and also other states like Georgia, Florida, Delaware, Connecticut, Maryland, and to just get really laser focused on going to the right kind of markets and identifying the right kind of fit students for Winthrop University. So before, we were spending, a good number of our budget trying to cast a net far and wide to get students at the top of our funnel who unfortunately just weren't matriculating in, who either had lost interest in Winthrop along the way because the competition from other institutions was drowning out our message. But now with a stronger marketing and brand position for the university, and using good data to inform us about who are the right fit students for Winthrop University, we've seen our new freshman numbers surge over the past couple of years to rebuild our enrollment. So new students is one component to that, Manning. The other component is hanging on to more of our students who are currently here, because like you'd mentioned, during the pandemic years, we were losing about 200 students per year in our undergraduate population. So since in the past 3 years, we've had student retention and persistence that we haven't seen, numbers that we haven't seen in over a decade. As a matter of fact, last year, we had the strongest fall to spring retention off of our freshmen to sophomores that we've seen since 2016. So that's telling us that data-informed approach of finding the right kind of students is helping to improve our retention of students, and we're hanging on to more of them.
All right, slow down. You're like a fire hose. You're good. That's great. I love the excitement. So what is the right kind of student?
Yep.
I mean, who is this?
That's right, yeah.
Well, are they?
That's right.
So what does this data tell you?
That's right. So there's, it's not like there's this this abstraction of a student who's out there, but let me kind of just tell you the student that's attracted to a place like Winthrop University. It's a student who's looking for opportunity, a student who's looking to be part of a relationship-rich community where they can be challenged and inspired in a community that will support them, provide them with the right kind of resources in a way that they probably wouldn't get at other larger institutions where they're going to get lost in the shuffle. So our students are bold, they're courageous, they're looking for something a little bit different from the margins, but still something that's really mainstream premium in what we can deliver in higher education. So our students are going on to do some incredible things. When we look at our student outcomes, over 90% of our students after graduation are in a job or some sort of post-secondary graduate school preparation after graduation. So over 90% of our students within 6 months are in some sort of job or grad school or professional school after, as far as outcomes. And when you compare that to the national average is about 60% 1 year after graduation.
Wow.
So within 6 months of graduation, 90% of our students are in a job, a J-O-B, mom and dad, or a grad school or professional school versus 60% nationally 1 year after graduation. So with outcomes like that, that really points to the experience that students at Winthrop University get. They're taking advantage of every opportunity to learn, opportunities to serve, and opportunities to get plugged into a future career. And so it's not just about what happens within the domains of the 4 years on that campus. It's how we're preparing them for life beyond Winthrop University.
I want to go back to all this data, all right? How do you know whether I'm going to go to this community or to this school because you're finding out that the right target for you is kids who don't want to be in these big institutions? I'll use a school like USC. I mean, it's a huge school. It's a great big state school. How does your data tell you that?
Yeah, you know, one of the great things about the state of South Carolina, Manning, is that we have such a rich variety of different types of institutions, from the large flagships like Clemson and USC to some of the more prestigious private institutions and regional institutions as well. And Winthrop University occupies a very unique, special space in that universe of institutions that are available across the state. So when we start profiling which students are, we'll say, a fit for Winthrop University, we're looking at a couple of dozen parameters of successful Winthrop graduates, not just successful students who attend Winthrop University, but students who have graduated from Winthrop University. So we're looking at things like geography, student interest, behavioral characteristics, what they want to study, self-reported information about what size of institution that they want to attend. And we take basically a couple of dozen sets of data points, and we work with an external vendor who helps to sort of filter that information down and match that against our successful Winthrop University graduates. And so when we get that, we start off with a prospect pool of about 14,000 students available to us within the state of South Carolina. And we just, through a really high-touch, relationship-rich experience through recruitment and through the recruitment process, we winnow that list down to get about 6,000 applicants every year out of that list of prospects to build our class every year. So one of the things that's important to us is throughout the entire admissions process, and we've got a great admissions team of excited, energetic, Winthrop-loving individuals who want to express the kind of relationship-rich experience through the admissions process that they're going to experience as a student here at Winthrop University. Because I would say one of the defining characteristics of Winthrop definitely is this very flourishing, relationship-rich experience that every student's going to participate in. And I think that's one of the things that students are looking for that's separate from the mainstream of the larger institutions. While those institutions, with all due respect, can talk a good talk about the excitement of the community and the experience, they just can't deliver on the scale that we can at Winthrop University.
All right, so if I'm an interested student, and I'm hearing you make this pitch to me, and I'm interested in relationships because they mean a lot to me, I want to know what you mean by a relationship-rich experience. What am I going to feel when I walk in over here?
Yeah, I'll tell you an example. If you're an art student, you're going to walk on a campus tour, and you're going to be introduced to some of our art professors. You're going to be welcomed into the class, and they're going to put a paintbrush in your hand and invite you to sit in on class and jump in and start painting with them. If you're a chemistry student, you're going to get toured around campus. You're going to see Cliff Calloway over in the science building, and he's going to tell you all about the research that they do with the Carolina Reaper. And show you some of the research that's going on right there that our students are also conducting. You'll hear from our tour guide, you know, how the president, Dr. Serna, walks his dog on campus, and sure enough, on cue, president walks by with Cooper, his dog. And so you get introduced to all these different personalities on campus, and it's such a real, honest, warm and inviting campus experience. And I think that level of authenticity is what students are really looking for. Not just, you know, sort of the first level attributes of a college, like I'm going to come here and get a great education, but I want to be part of a community, a place that's vibrant and exciting, and a place where I can really fit in on a human level.
The other part that I believe still is a part of the functions that you do at Winthrop, your professors over there kind of open their doors, whether they be in the classroom over there or their house or whatever it is, to give these young men and women an opportunity to see them outside of the classroom.
Yeah.
True?
Correct, yeah. Don't always see them outside of the classroom, but again, to connect with them on a person-to-person scale. You know, and that's sort of a unique distinctive, I think, that you might only see at some of the really elite private institutions. And a lot of times, students come on campus, parents come on campus, and assume that we're a private institution because of that level of connection between our students and our faculty. So, I mean, that's not a bad misunderstanding to be thought of as a private institution at a public cost. And we've done a lot to control our costs to make ourselves more affordable and accessible to students and families. But through opportunities like the Winthrop Poll and undergraduate student research, there are rich opportunities for our students to learn and engage and get to work with their faculty and on group projects with their fellow students in a deep and meaningful way that they just really can't at another institution.
Does Winthrop still have the requirement that there needs to be some type of community service if you're going to be a student at Winthrop within the Rock Hill or York County community?
Yeah, that's been manifested in our connectional hours that we have on campus. So students will take about 40 hours worth of experience during their 4 years at Winthrop University to expose them to different opportunities outside of their major, whether that's a service opportunity or attending athletic events or if it's participating in undergraduate research. So these contact opportunities that students get for enrichment and curricular enrichment is still part of our curriculum at Winthrop, which I think is also unique from other institutions, because a lot of what other institutions sell is just what happens between the academic day of 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. inside the classroom. But we realize that 75% of what really college is happens outside of the classroom. So those enrichment experiences that students have, you know, initially there may be some reluctance for students to take those on, but they add so much richness and meaning to the college experience that they wouldn't have otherwise if they weren't kind of mandated in a way to do these service opportunities, to go attend art shows and theater productions, and really expose themselves to different opportunities.
One of the other things, a big part of what's happened is the, I call it the reorganization of the entire curriculum that you have over there at Winthrop. I mean, you're very focused, as you point out, on making sure that graduates are on a path where they can walk out, get a job, become productive, and, you know, start paying their college loans or whatever. Correct?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think Winthrop University has rightly so rested into a perception of being a liberal arts institution, and that is the core, I think, of any really good college or university is having at the core of your academic enterprise a solid foundation in liberal arts, which is this distributive academic curriculum that's built around a major area of study. But we're so much more than that with the development of the new curriculum. So we've moved from being focused on a liberal arts core to now being a regional comprehensive institution. And that's built around, again, this liberal arts core that defines our history, but providing new opportunities and new programs like artificial intelligence, game design, programs like fintech that's coming online, so that we're understanding what the needs of the industry are and how we can adapt our curriculum to be more responsive to that, but also to understand that this is giving us and giving our students more opportunity to serve those rising workforce needs.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Here we are at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What we do, our specialty here, we have a PhD in fresh food, fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. How we do it is in these little white letters that we're going to tell everybody about right now at the count of three. Are we ready, gang? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Most people experience orthopedic concerns at some point in their lifetime, whether it's arthritis, back pain, injury, or any other condition. At Piedmont Medical Center, our team understands joint pain can make a huge difference in your day-to-day activities, and we stand ready to help. With minimally invasive surgical options available, the orthopedic teams in Rock Hill and Fort Mill are here to help you break free from pain so you can live more happily. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built in care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
If a big outdoor project is part of your future plans, before you start digging, call 811. Within 72 hours, your underground utilities will be located and marked, and you'll know exactly where it's safe to dig. A quick phone call is all it takes, and there's no charge to find out where potentially dangerous underground cables and lines are located. Before you grab a shovel or start digging in the yard, call 811 at least 3 business days before digging. Remember, if it requires a shovel, it requires a call to 811.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Joseph Miller is with us. He's Winthrop's Vice President of Enrollment Management and Marketing. We're talking about a very interesting resurgence of what's been going on at Winthrop since COVID. I mean, you guys, you know, kudos. You have brought back all the students that were lost during COVID, and now you're going to have about 6,000 students, 5,000 undergraduates, 1,000 graduates. That's great. So, the $64,000 question is, how big do you want to get this thing?
That's such a good question, Manning. You know,
let me stop you. Because I remember a previous president bought all that acres down there from the American Legion to grow this puppy, and all we got down there is some parking and weeds.
One thing that's undeniable, Manning, is that we are definitely in a growth mode at Winthrop University. And so you hit the nail on the head. Priority one was getting our enrollment rebounded from the losses that we and a lot of other institutions, quite frankly, experienced during the pandemic years. So we have passed through that gate. Now the question is how do we, in a very strategic and appropriate and prudent way, start to rebuild additional enrollments on top of that through the addition of new academic programs that service our community. We're going to be the first in the state leading some very new first-time academic programs that no other institution has in the state of South Carolina, like artificial intelligence, game design, fintech. These are brand new, state-of-the-art, cutting-edge programs. They're going to fuel a new industry and a new enterprise. So we're looking at not what the Winthrop was 20 years ago, but what Winthrop's going to be in 20 years from now. And we're seeing growth and a vibrant campus, and some of our best days are ahead of us right now. So what that growth number is actually right now is still to be determined as we think about and we evaluate year over year the addition of these new programs and how we can accommodate that growth on campus in a way that doesn't add additional pressure to the current enterprise.
Okay, so we all know that one of the big projects in 2024, maybe it was 2025 before it was done. You lost two towers down here, Wofford and Richardson.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beds in there. Mm-hmm. So can you grow if you don't have, do you have enough beds? What's the deal?
That's a good thing. We don't want to do anything that's going to put constraint to the growth that we're experiencing right now. And so that massive project of pulling down Richardson and Wofford took about 800 beds off of our residential inventory. So we've restored some of those with our current contracts with the Courtyard and Walk to Campus and the Nest and some of our wonderful local partners who have helped to accommodate the housing needs for our students. Because one of the challenges with finding appropriate housing for students, Manning, is also the affordability of that. Uh-huh. And so when our students have gone onto the open market, they realize that on-campus housing in many instances is more affordable than going off to the open market to find housing. So we want to continue to still work with our vendors and our partners off campus who are taking great care of our Winthrop students. But we understand that in time, we're going to need to replace those beds that were lost from Richardson and Wofford. And we've done that to some degree based on the available students who are looking for housing coming in this fall. So, but we're right on the margin. So again, we want to make sure that we're adding and growing at an appropriate rate that doesn't put additional pressure or stress on the infrastructure of the enterprise. But that does mean that we're going to have to open up new residential units for students in future years.
So, in so many words, you're telling me that it's a balancing act, and you know how many students are coming, but you really don't know whether you're going to have enough beds for all of them.
It can be a chicken or the egg, right? Because you need money to do things, and that's the other thing. So you're getting revenues from enrollment and tuition that students are paying, but you also need funding from the state to do these massive building projects to do things like build a new residence hall. So, and of course, those things take time. So that's why planning now is so important, so that we can anticipate what our needs are going to be 2-3 years from now, because if a new residence hall is needed, then now is the time to start having those conversations and to start soliciting some of those funds from the state.
So you think you're going to be okay for this fall?
We're going to be okay for this fall. We've got a great team in student affairs and residential life who kind of understand where our needs are and what our inventory is and what levers they can pull to make sure that we're providing excellent housing and a wonderful experience for all of our students coming in this fall, both new students and our returning students who've requested housing on campus.
All right. So talk to me a little bit about facilities.
Mm-hmm.
I use my wife as a barometer. You know, she travels around a lot. We were scooting up Eden Terrace the other day, and she says, I never seen the grass so high over there. What's going on? What can you tell me?
Man, you know, we are so grateful for our facilities and operations team. We've got an excellent team of skilled tradesmen like plumbers and carpenters and electricians and HVAC workers, also our grounds team and our custodial workers. But the reality is this: we've got an enormous footprint at Winthrop University, both the main campus and at the farm. And the competition for skilled workforce in this area in Rock Hill and around Charlotte is very competitive. And it's been, quite frankly, difficult for the university to keep on the payroll some of these skilled workers, because they can go out to the open market and either make more money or have better circumstances or more benefits that we can provide at Winthrop University as a state institution. So just like the core of our enterprise is all about teaching and learning, we are not an expert in food service. We're not an expert in real estate. We're not an expert in knowing how to run a bookstore. So that's why we contract services, like we have Sodexo as our partner with food services. We have Barnes & Noble as our vendor with the bookstore. And we are looking for a partner to help with our facilities needs at Winthrop University. So working with the state procurement process, we are seeking a vendor who can help to manage our facilities and grounds and provide a better level of customer service and a better level of care all around to help manage this very beautiful campus. Everything from grass to custodial to some of our deeper skilled trades needs, like carpenters and electricians and plumbers and HVAC technicians as well. So we're hoping that a vendor can come in and work with Winthrop University at the economy of scale that only a large corporation can, whereas we've been trying to do it in-house with this DIY method. And over the period of years, as our footprint has continued to grow and as our facilities team have been managing these really important projects like Richardson and Wofford demolition, some of the campus improvements and academics, it's just been a lot to manage. So we're looking for an external partner to help us manage these projects.
So the process is underway.
Process is underway. This started a couple of months ago, and our own facilities and grounds team were notified before the announcement went out and the contract request went out to the state. So our facilities and operations team is fully aware of what's being requested and what's on the horizon. We are hopeful that RFP will close with vendor selection near the end of the summer, and that work with a new vendor can begin underway in the fall.
Dr. Joseph Miller, we've run out of time. You've done a great job. Thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Congratulations again on your PhD. Congratulations on the great work you and your team are doing over there at Winthrop. I mean, that's fascinating to hear about recapturing all these students who were lost during COVID. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comforium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, ladies and gentlemen, we have a PhD in fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2, and we went to work on that years and years and years ago to get that nomenclature, but we got it. How we do it is pretty, we had to write our thesis on this, and here it is. The name of our thesis is in the white letters, and let's say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
You just got a PhD. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.